It's nearly impossible to say how many homeless people there are in New Hampshire. And the biggest reason is that most people without a home in the state are not on the street or in shelters. They actually have a roof over their heads. Some sleep on couches, and some rent rooms by the week at a place like the PK Motel in Effingham. NHPR's Jack Guadalico and Natasha Haverty take us there.
A woman named Ami lets us into her room up on the second floor of the PK Motel. Her long brown hair is pinned up high. She holds an unlit cigarette in her hand.
Like I said, I don't have much sitting room. You can sit on the edge of the bed.
Ami, who's asked us not to use her last name, has packed her whole life into this room. Plastic bins of clothes, boxes of canned food she gets from the food pantry and heats up in her microwave.
The object she says is most important to her, a photo of her holding her daughter in the hospital just after she was born.
I've never been without that picture. That picture has always been beside my bed, no matter where I've been or where I've lived.
Ami says her life really fell apart after her partner assaulted her so badly that in order to heal, she had to have metal rods and screws put in to hold her spine together.
Sleeping is very difficult. I have days where I can get up and I can move around pretty good and it's an okay day, and I have days where I can't. So since I don't know what days are going to be good, how do you really hold down any kind of job?
Because of her injury, Ami collects Social Security. Most of that money goes to rent for this room, $550 each month.
It's not that it's an awful place to be, but it's not where I want to be.
The PK Motel rises up over a big, dusty parking lot, partway down a rural road in Effingham, close to the Maine border and wedged between the lakes and the White Mountains. The place looks more like a warehouse than a motel. It's not a place families stop on vacation. It's where local town welfare offices send people when they're out of options.
And behind each of these doors are stories of people stranded by poverty. Stories about addiction, violence, rural isolation, bad luck, bad choices. For Ovi Sharest, who's 31, he says he's stuck because he can't get a job.
Jobs around here are tough. The rates aren't that good. They're awful.
Ovi lives just a couple doors down from Ami. He says even if he had a job, he couldn't get to it because, like a lot of folks at this motel, he doesn't have a car. When we talk to him, he's just about to take a 3-hour round-trip walk to the nearest grocery store with his friend Francesca Wright.
Wright says when most jobs are low-wage and part-time, it's hard to get a leg up and out of a place like this. She works at McDonald's.
I'm 30 years old. I've got 15, 16 years experience, and they were paying me $7.75.
And me, I've just been struggling financially for a couple of years. That's how I lost my car.
Over on the other side of the building, Stephanie Adjutant stands outside her room. She has a car and a job.
But on the day we meet her, she tells us she can't get to work because she didn't have money for gas.
I don't like living here, but I do it because, like, it's, at least it's a roof over our head.
She lives here with her fiancé and two babies. She's 20 years old.
You know, I mean, I have food stamps, but it doesn't last the whole month because I have to buy formula. So, because my youngest one's 3 months and my oldest is a year and a half.
Adjutant's boys are the third generation in her family to live out of motels, homeless. Like other folks we talk to, she wants to find an apartment, but can't scrape together first month's rent and a security deposit, which around here adds up to about $2,000. A lot of people got here because they were running away from something. Adjutant's fiance says he became homeless as a teenager. He ran away from home after his father put a gun to his head.
Sitting on the stone step outside her room, Vicky Leather says this motel is a refuge for her and her husband. Next to her is a bed of flowers they put in as soon as they arrived. The flowers are plastic, but she says next year they'll put in real ones.
It's time that my husband and I had a life of our own, because we've always been raising our grandkids. And between us, we have 22.
What do they call you, your grandkids?
They all call me Papa. I'm Papa and she's Nana.
The Leathers moved here from Maine a couple months ago. They're vague about why they left, but Vicky says they were surrounded by drugs and drug addicts.
I mean, it's got so bad down there. The people was taking their cellars and turning them into crack houses and so many children getting, you know, hurt out of it.
Mark Leathers rolls across the parking lot on his electric wheelchair he got from the VA. He wears these camouflage pajama pants, and in his lap, there's a tiny red dog sprawled out on its back. It's a miniature Pomeranian, and it's Mark's service dog.
He's just, like, curled up in your lap like a baby.
Yeah, he likes to be held like a baby.
Back up in Ami's room, she says she's been homeless for months.
But before the PK Motel, she says it was worse.
For a couple nights. I have to laugh about this. I actually slept in a laundromat for a couple nights because it was warm.
Ami says she's been on the wait list for subsidized housing for 8 years. In the meantime, she lived in substandard apartments. One place had no heat. After ending up at the laundromat, she met a social worker who told her about the PK Motel.
Ami lives here on her own. Her daughter is 19 and in Philadelphia. And Ami says of all the times in her life to end up in this motel, at least it wasn't when her daughter was still little and living with her.
They say all things happen for a reason. Because I could not imagine being a mother and being in this situation, to have children and be in this situation. That is what would horrify me. That's what would scare me. And thank God I was never there when I had my child with me.
Most of the time, Ami says she's working on an exit plan.
She's on the phone with insurance, with family court, with the housing authority. She says she actually has a deadline for herself to get out of here.
This January coming up, I'll be 50. Wow. It happens fast. And I hope not to be homeless or staying at the PK at 50. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
And that's one thing a lot of people who live in these rooms have in common. They're thinking about leaving.
They just don't know where they're going yet. For NHPR, I'm Jack Rodolico.
And I'm Natasha Haverty.